Let's go ahead and read the scripture, and then I'm going to ask you some questions. Philippians 4:4, starting there. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or heard or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Father God, you know what it is that we're struggling with. You know the issues in our lives, in our hearts, the strongholds that we want broken, and yet the habits that stop us from even surrendering to you so that you can have full way and full sway in our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, help us now to understand how we are undermining ourselves. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys don't need to go in your Bible. It's up there. Last week, we're talking about fasting. And at the very end, we touched very quickly on the fact that fasting, the success of it all depends on how we feel, basically, because there was a study that said that people who had a craving for food or a craving for something and stopped and started talking about and telling themselves the things they were grateful for ate 77% more healthy food simply by stopping and going through a gratitude list, stopping and thinking about all the things that they were grateful for. And that really made me think a lot more. But first, I want to ask, for those of you who were here last week, what did we find out the reason for fasting was in the first place, as a recap?
To get closer with God.
Get closer with God, but there was a certain word he kept using over and over and over again. Spend yourself.
Spending.
About how we are, it was a comparison, a long comparison of what fasting was not and what fasting was. Fasting, what it was not eating food or setting aside a particular day. Go ahead.
Spend yourself for others. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's more about serving and giving and, you know, it's, of course, drawing closer to God, but to do his work, to do what he is wanting you to do. It's not about not eating or even, you know, just praying. It's about, it's not about what all the Pharisees were doing. It's about, get out there and, you know, feed my children. Basically, feed my lambs was what we used to use in my old church. Was something that was always taught. You know, if you love me, feed my lambs.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically that.
So,
get out there and, you know, take care of my children for me.
All right, so basically, what it was talking about fasting, and it was strange to us because you normally don't think about fasting in terms of it being about becoming selfless. But the whole point of fasting is not to lose weight. It's not just to fast for fasting's sake. The point of fasting is to get rid of anything in our lives that stops us from obeying God and serving Him and serving others. That's what the point of fasting is. Now, when we talked last week and we brought up the idea of fasting, what was your immediate response to the thought of fasting?
I told you, I'm going to starve to death.
Okay. I'm going to starve to death. What else? What was your immediate reaction to the thought of fasting? Come on, Ronnie.
We got to clarify there's different fasting.
No, I'm just talking about...
talking spiritual fasting or...
Well, it's all, it's all related.
She wants to know when we hear the word fasting.
And,
I know, but there's new
and the first thing
here,
everybody
so.
Does.
Okay, well, let me clarify. Physical fasting for spiritual purposes is spiritual fasting.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not just talking about you do one and it doesn't affect the other. So what I'm just asking is...
Like you said last week, if you just do it and just to lose weight or something, it's just a diet. Call it what it is, a diet, right?
Yeah. So, but even if, let's say, it was just for a diet, okay? When you hear the word fasting, Ronnie, what comes to mind immediately?
Giving something up. You're holding on to.
Okay. All right.
She said discipline. Carl said discipline.
Discipline. Okay. All right. What else? What about you guys? What comes to mind if somebody said, I want you to fast? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
I'm with her giving up, like, you know, some kind of, like, maybe going on, like, a soup diet or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what emotions come up the moment when you hear, I need, the doctor tells you, you're going to have to fast for 24 hours before this
lab
test.
Work, that's what comes to.
But what emotions does it bring up? When
misery.
Somebody says, you have to, thank you,
yeah.
Misery, okay, the idea of fasting.
Serious, I can't have my coffee in the morning.
Exactly.
Fear. Ooh, say that again. Backed in a corner. Perfect analogy, because I'm going to use that analogy in this lesson. All right, when we are told, I need you to fast, is it a positive response?
No.
Are you looking forward to it?
No.
Are you dreading it?
Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, we're going to talk about how we frame or how we perceive or how we tell ourselves something, how it affects our response to it. Okay? Now, that's why I pulled up this scripture, Philippians 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what are we supposed to do, Anna?
Think on these things.
And Paul is saying this, and Paul says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. So he's saying, think on it, and then put it into practice. Now, I brought this up because what did we say at the end of last week? What are these statistics I told you? That if you think on what you are grateful for, 77% more healthy foods you will choose. Now, how in the world does that happen? And here's a scripture telling you from the beginning, you're supposed to be thinking on these good things, right? So that's what we're going to talk about today. If you're struggling with starting your fast, keeping your fast, and this, of course, also expands over into every area of your life. Because, again, the point of fasting is doing what? Spending yourself in obedience to God. Pouring yourself out like broken bread and poured out wine. Giving yourself for the benefit of others, which is love. So in our fasting, in our season of fasting, our success lies in the will. And we've taught over the past several weeks about body, soul, and spirit. Your body is the part that interacts with the world, takes in information, okay, and affects the world. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So it's your thoughts, your emotions, and your decision-making. And then we have the Holy Spirit in us. For those of us who are born again, our spirits have become alive, and our Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And we now can process input from the Holy Spirit. He can speak to us and give us an option. Before, the only options we had were doing what our body said, doing what our mind and our emotions said. Now we have the other option to listen to the Holy Spirit and respond to the Holy Spirit. Doesn't make us obey the Holy Spirit, but at least now we have the option. We still have to make a decision, right? Okay. Now, how we feel about a situation will affect whether we will respond, like Katie said, instinctually like an animal backed into a corner, or obediently like a human child of God. I'm going to say that again. How we feel about our situation, how we frame it, how we tell ourselves about that situation will affect whether we respond instinctually like a trapped, injured animal or like a thoughtful, surrendered, obedient child of God. Right? Okay? And now this is where we're going with this. And this is going to affect every part of your life. Now, negative moods cause us to focus on the here and now. Right now. Okay? So, if negative moods cause us to focus on right now, what do positive moods cause us to focus on? Or free us up to focus on? Not the here and now, but the future, the bigger picture, right? A negative pain and negative emotions make us focus on how we feel right this second, okay? It makes us think about our physical feelings and our emotional feelings. Right now is all there is, and attending to the trouble at hand is all there is. You understand? However, in order to be able to think about the bigger picture, what will make us healthier, what God wants for us, more abstract, not concrete things, more abstract things, we have to be freed up from the moment. We have to be able to see. Do you think about and visualize heaven when you've taken a hammer and pounded yourself on the thumb?
No.
The only thing you're thinking about is the pain in your throbbing thumb, isn't it? Just try thinking about anything else when you're in pain. Right? Whether it's physical.
It's almost impossible.
Thank you. The brain can only focus on one thing at a time. You may think that you're thinking about a bunch of stuff, but really it can't. Your mind can only have one thought in it at one time. So therefore, if you're focused on pain or something negative, you cannot be focused on positive and vice versa. Now, the other thing is we have associations, pictures in our minds that, you know how your mind just bounces from one thing to another. You think of this and it makes you think of this. Like the whip and the nay-nay makes you think of a video you've seen or the kids at school doing it. And you just follow the bouncing ball, right? So what happens is if you're feeling bad at that moment, you're only focusing on how you feel. But that's where the bouncing ball starts. Whatever you associate with that. Oh, I hate this. I hate when this happens. I hate doing this. I don't want to do this. You know what? It really bothers me. Why am I the only person who has to do this? Where is so-and-so when they're not here? You know what I mean? The ball starts bouncing down the hill. And it picks up speed.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. However, when we are not doing that, we are outside walking around in a beautiful day, and our mind just starts with, oh, this is a gorgeous day. And then from there, oh, you know, this brings back a great memory of when I was out so-and-so and doing this with so-and-so. That was really wonderful. You know, normally, really horrible or negative thoughts don't encroach on those. The bouncing ball does not go downward. The bouncing ball actually goes uphill. You with me? All right. My dad would always say, let's say I hurt my hand. And my dad would say, really? He says, here, I can fix that. I can make the pain go away. He goes, I'll step on your foot. And then he'd laugh. But the truth is, we can actually control how we feel about the pain with our thoughts, how we frame the pain, and also we can be distracted from the pain, can't we? Let's say about getting a shot at the doctor's.
Ouch.
I would like you to know that even when you grow up, it doesn't change. You still don't like it. But you mind it less from experience. You realize, all right, this is what I do when I go in, especially the worst kind for me is when you've got a cavity and they're going to put a needle in your gum. Okay, and they deaden it first. Deaden it first with the Novocaine or the gel they put on there. And then they don't just go, do they? They don't just put it in. They go slowly, making sure it seeps in.
And how's if you're, that feeling?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Gotta wiggle it.
I know, exactly. So when we think of needles and that type of thing. This is how I would normally, like a shot. My mom said when I was a child and the doctor, when they made house calls, came to the house and he said he was going to give me a shot, I started screaming before he even took the needle out. Okay? And by the time he had done it, it was over with and I didn't even know. Okay? But I came to realize that if I went to the doctor and taking blood, all that kind of stuff, if I put it into perspective, if I immediately my heart starts racing, my blood pressure goes up. It's just an autonomic response of fear to the idea of someone putting a sharp foreign object into my body. I don't know what's wrong with me, but that's how I feel. So I will tell myself, Penny, this shot, except for the dentist, this shot will last less than 3 seconds. That's 3 seconds out of a minute, 1 minute out of 60 minutes, out of this 1 hour, out of 24 hours in this day. So I count. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, and it's over with. I have distracted myself from what is going on by counting. But I've also framed it and put it in perspective so I can relax. If you know something's going to last for 3 seconds rather than 3 hours, aren't you willing to go through it easier? Mm-hmm. You're not as balled up and tensed up about it.
Just get it over with.
But notice how, before that, as a child and even before then, I would be so tensed up. And what happens when you tense your muscle and they try giving you a shot?
Oh, it hurts
more. Okay? So my thinking, my self-talk, how I frame this is going to affect how I feel about it. I can actually take that shot and end up feeling okay with it and it being physically less painful. Everybody with me? Okay? Now, when you're in a physical or emotional pain, you have the most strong sense of urgency to alleviate the pain. Remember, smash your thumb with a hammer? Are you thinking about heaven? No. All you're thinking about is what? How to make your thumb stop hurting. Right? So when we perceive something as bad, all of a sudden the rest of the world goes away. And we zoom in on what is wrong. Agreed? But when you're not in pain, you're no longer in an urgent rush to protect yourself. The animal instinct that you have, your body's instinct to protect itself, is all of a sudden released. Okay? You've got a hurt animal, and a hurt animal is just going to... We've got one dog that... If you hurt her, and by accident she might have a hidden place on her, if you touch her in the wrong place, she's going to stab at you. All right? It's just, but then afterwards she comes up to you and she's trying to love on you because she's like, I didn't mean to do that. All right? And so sometimes people do that. There's a sore spot in us and they touch us and it's sore there and we respond like a hurt animal. That's a sermon for a whole nother day. But when the pain subsides, we're free to think about other things, long-term things. This hurt animal that's trying to protect itself and take care of itself is not thinking about finding food, not thinking about finding shelter, not thinking about anything forward-thinking, only about the here and now. So how do you feel when the sun is out? We're inside. If we look out the window and the sun is shining gloriously and it's beautiful blue sky, how does it make you feel? It has an effect on me. It makes me happy.
Yeah.
It gives me really good warm fuzzies. I like it.
And
okay. And when you look outside and it is overcast and gray,
blah blah blah.
Right? It affects your emotions, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Now you're not outside in the gray. You're just looking out through a window to see the gray, right? And it affects you. What you're visually seeing affects your emotions. Well, what if you close your eyes? It's gray outside, and you close your eyes and you imagine a beautiful day. Beautiful day.
Beach.
All of a sudden, on the beach, in the mountains, wherever. And all of a sudden, what happens to your emotions? You feel good. Daydreaming about a place that you want to go. Getting excited about a vacation you're going on. Those things do what? Make you feel good. Do you notice not only what you think, but you have the power to change how you feel simply by imagining something else.
Very good.
Okay? So.
Well, they say that sometimes when you have like a bad experience, mm-hmm. if you reimagine it in a different way, that it actually helps you cope with that.
That's exactly
and move
it.
On.
Perfect, perfect. That's just where we're going with this. Is you can change. Remember we were talking about the associations, the bouncing ball? You can actually change the associations you have with a particular thing. And that is how you get healed. You break it from going bouncing down the hill, and you change it and connect it to something else. Well, that's what we're going to do today. That's what we're going to change about fasting. So what if we're in a situation, and it normally makes us respond negatively? Okay, makes us respond instinctually like an animal. If we stop and imagine something different, our instinct will change and our feelings will change. Right? I'm going to give you an example from my own life. Now, those of you who have been here and heard, I have an eating disorder. And I got over the overeating and then I struggle with anorexia and bulimia, not with the purging like normal, but I purge with exercise. So I have to be very, very careful not to over-exercise and not to under-eat. However, exercising on my good side has become a very good habit. I exercise basically every day, and if I miss a day, I start to panic. Just the thought that I might not be able to exercise that day will panic. Case in point, Ronnie's had some people in working in the sunroom, which is where my home exercise machine is. I actually have an exercise machine at work that they let me have, use a little tiny thing. And it was outside in the rain. And that's okay. It was covered up, whatever. But he couldn't bring it back in because they were doing work in there. And I worked from home on Friday. So immediately, I realized I'm not going to be able to exercise today. Now, because of what's wrong inside of me, my own pains, my own hurts, my own brokenness, exercise to me is very important. And I felt the panic start rising. I started having the instinctual animal response. All I could think about over and over again was, I'm not going to be able to exercise today, which means there's a chance I could gain weight. This is my thinking, my sick thinking. And there was no way it was going to be coming back in the house. I was going to have to deal with this. I have found that if I talk to myself differently, I can make the panic go away. I can stop the instinctual response. Instead, I will tell myself that, first of all, if I don't exercise this one day, it does not actually mean I'm going to gain weight. There is no direct correlation. And then I started realizing the good things. I already have a habit of working out every day at least 5 to 6 hours a week. I have created a very good habit. My body likes to exercise now. Before it hated to. I love doing it, so I'm thankful that my body enjoys doing it. Also, I realized I don't have to lose all my weight right now, and so I have like, if today and I have 20 more years to go, this is one out of 7,300 days that I have to get to my goal weight. That's a tiny, tiny portion. It's like remembering the shot's only 3 minutes or 3 seconds long. So reframing it, I actually gauge my heart rate by what I'm imagining. When my heart rate goes up, I have to tell myself, Penny, this is not true. This is not true at all. And then I tell myself the good things that I'm thankful for. And all of a sudden my blood pressure goes down and my mind is freed to think up of other things. Isn't that amazing how just going through a gratitude list, speaking to myself positive things, this is not New Age stuff. This is what the scripture says. Yes. Speaking these positive things to me changes my entire frame and releases me from the animal to be a child of God again. And I can still go about my day and do other things. Beforehand, before I realized how to do this, it would be forever. Forever I would be stuck on this. My blood pressure would be so high for so long, I would make myself sick because I couldn't, my OCD would hold on to it nonstop. So you can break that pattern by speaking positive to you. The same thing about the changing my perspective about weight loss. I've lost 50 pounds over, I guess it was in about 15 months. And then I dropped 5 and then I went back up 5. And I've not been able to lose weight after that. And it has been very, very frustrating to me. And I was making myself sick over it. Because all I could think of was, I have at least 20 to 25 pounds more to lose. Why can't I lose it? And I kept comparing myself to these people I would read about online, people who had lost 100 pounds in a year. And I'm like, I'm behind. Mm-hmm. That made me feel like I was behind. And so one day I flipped the switch. And I think it's because I saw a picture of me that we took from as a group at mm-hmm. church. And I saw what I really look like, not what I see in the mirror, but what I really look like in comparison to everyone else. And I thought, I look okay. And I said, I've lost 50 pounds. And instead of having 70 or 75 pounds to lose, I only have 20 or 25 pounds to lose. There are a lot of people that only have 20 or 25 pounds to lose. That's normal, which is important to me, being normal. And all of a sudden, I was not obsessed anymore. I had a positive look on it. I could let it go. It didn't control my every thought, my every moment. Just reframing it in a positive way freed me from the negative and allowed me to move forward and make decisions. Could I make decisions for myself while I was freaked out?
No.
No. I totally lose the ability to make choices for myself. I just respond instinctually like an animal. So you guys with me all this far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? Now, in this fast that I'm doing, since I'm basically a vegan now anyways, there's not a heck of a lot for me to give up other than to be stricter. I have been splurging on some sugar and some dairy, so I've given that up. But I am challenging myself and pushing myself further. And I am doing something called intermittent fasting. And that means that you only eat within an 8-hour period in the day. And you don't use, so for me, I eat between noon and 8. I don't eat after 8, and I don't eat before noon. Now, this is very hard for me because I have created a habit. Ronnie and I sit in the evenings and watch Netflix together, and I snack. And I did not realize how it had become a habit. Just the thought of reaching and eating. So much of our lives are just habit. And the other thing I found out, which is really interesting, it has been proven that there's a place in your brain when you break a habit that it evokes fear in you. Your instinct, your body, your brain will release a hormone and do something to make you be afraid when you change a habit. It's not a mental thing. I'm like, why am I feeling this way? It's because your brain gets used to a particular habit, and because of anthropological all the way back, it was a way to help us survive as a species. But now, it doesn't help so much, especially since we get into really bad habits. So just the thought of changing a habit, a thought of fasting, does what? Evokes fear in us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How you're feeling, why you're feeling. So I actually get phantom cravings. I'm not hungry at 8 o'clock. I've just had a huge meal. Okay? I've eaten whatever I wanted to. But come after 8 o'clock, it's like my arm is twitching. I should be reaching for something. You know, it's just, my right arm is like, where is it? Where is it? It's not on the table there. I want to reach for something. And so these phantom cravings, this habitual stuff, made me ask, why am I able, during the fast, to successfully only eat in an 8-hour period? I'm not having a problem doing this. Why am I able to do this for God during a fast and not able to do this during the rest of the time? When I tell myself and make an agreement with myself, I'm not going to do such and such anymore, why do I break that? As opposed to not having any problem, really this has been relatively easy for me. Why? Why do you guys think?
Because it's habit.
Habit, very good. Very good. But I think it's also this. Go ahead.
Say it again so I can just get my thought back.
Why is it that I can successfully do something hard or give something up for God and not just give that up for myself?
Because when you're just giving it up for yourself, you're just trying to do it on your own power.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Very good.
A lot of it is just you're getting short-term satisfaction. You're just so used to doing it. And it's like you're craving it. And all of a sudden, you do it. And once again, it's a short-term satisfaction. But the long-term, it's hurting you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, that's true. That's why we're doing it. But I found out why, in a 3-week fast, it's easier for me to give something up and obediently do it, as opposed to just throughout the year, whatever. In the same way as sometimes if you've ever tried to lose weight or do something throughout the year, you know, maybe it's a long-term thing, and you're fine for a while, and then all of a sudden you're not fine with it. You know, you just go off the deep end, and you decide you're not going to do it anymore. I found out that when I do a fast for God, I have a sense of, and the word you use, satisfaction, of knowing that I'm doing something for God. That sense of satisfaction makes me grateful, which is positive, which allows me to see the bigger picture. It allows me to use my will, to hear the Holy Spirit, to use my will to make decisions that are good for me in the long run. Why do we normally give up when we are fasting or when we're trying to do something and break a habit? Why do we give back in? Anybody?
Discipline.
Okay, discipline.
Our flesh.
What?
Our flesh.
Give me an example. What happens?
There's always an end date.
Okay, an end date for the fasting, but let's say before you reach your goal, there's something you want to do. Okay, and you've set a plan in motion, and you said, I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do this.
I took my eyes off the goal.
Okay, why? What happened? What makes you take your eye off the goal?
Yes.
Okay, but give me an example.
Something bad happens.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Something bad happens.
Something triggers us.
Something triggers us. And what do you think that thing is that takes our eyes off the goal? What does it do to us? Something bad happens.
It's a negative thought.
A negative thing. Something. Here we are focused on the long thing. Imagine a runner running a marathon, and then all of a sudden they trip and fall. Okay? As long as they're standing up running, they see the goal line. Mm-hmm. Moment they fall, all they see is the pavement. All they feel is their knees bleeding. Okay? Whatever it is, and all of a sudden, focus, totally get lost.
Start making excuses.
Okay, start making excuses, but why? The moment something bad happens, the bouncing ball occurs. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And starts going downhill. This is what sabotages us every time. However, as we've been saying, what is the way that we can overcome the bad day? the trip and fall, the whatever bad happens from sabotaging and getting our eyes off of the goal.
Reimagine it.
Guard our hearts.
Guard your heart. And our minds in Christ, like it says in the scripture.
Mm-hmm. But how do we...
I had to do that this morning.
Okay, go ahead, share.
Oh, gosh. I couldn't wake up this morning. My precious husband brings me a cup of coffee to the bed. I prop my pillows up. I doze off. I wake up screaming because I have coffee, hot coffee, all over me. So I have to jump out of the bed. I'm like, it's all over me. I have to get in the shower, wash it off. It's all sticky because I use a half pound of sugar in my cup of coffee. I'm supposed to be fasting on. Get up and I step in, pee, and I see poop, and there's all this thing. I go outside and there's puke on the little love seat that's out there in our dog Tasha's little condo. She's our only big dog, so keep her outside, but she's all rotten. She's old. She has a love seat. She has four walls and a roof and all that on the deck. But she threw up on the thing. So I sat down finally, and I was just like, Lord, this day is not going good so far. And I'm like, but this is your day, and so please, just help me forget all this that happened, get to church, and help me focus on just you and worshiping you. And, I had a double earache. I've got something going on in my ears. So I was hurting, so I had to pray against the pain. And then I just started thinking about being here and getting here.
Perfect. That is a perfect example. First, physical pain immediately turns you back into an animal instinct.
Oh, yeah.
All right, shuts you down. But you make a decision and choose to reframe it. All right, and the beautiful thing is that you said, this is your day. This is the day. You gave me revelation in that. Why do you think the scripture says, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it? It didn't say, this was a good day to start out with, so I will rejoice and be glad in it. The psalmist is changing and reframing the way they present the day to themselves by saying, this is the day the Lord has made, so this is a good day. And I make this decision, I will rejoice and be glad in it. All right? So that's why, when we talk about the fast, what do you normally say?
I'll pray over you.
What are you saying to yourself about fasting, the things? All right, everybody in here, well, those of you, if you were participating in a fast, and those of you who are, raise your hand if God has pointed something out to you that he would like you to fast. Whether you're fasting or not, that he's pointed out something that he wants you to fast. Yes? 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 Yes. Do you guys have anything that you think that the Lord would want you to give up? It's okay if not. But
sure.
Sometimes there's just...
We will make you relinquish that.
Come on, talk me now.
Well, normally something will come up to us.
Yeah.
All right? And what do we say to ourselves? I don't want to fast that. I will feel horrible if I fast. I can't see myself fasting that. I can't get myself to fast that. Isn't that what we say to ourselves?
Yep.
At the thought of it? But we're framing and presenting the fast to ourselves in a negative way, which makes us do what? Turn inward and become instinctual. We are no longer in control. We can't make decisions and thoughts. Why? Because we have turned ourselves into a negative mood and the ball is now bouncing down the hill. We have totally given away our decision-making ability the moment we frame something negatively. Okay, this isn't New Age stuff. We want to get ourselves to the place where we are free of the things that stop us from obeying the Holy Spirit when it speaks to us. That's the whole point of fasting, getting rid of that stuff. But one of the things that kills us is we can't get to the fasting.
Right.
because we're being negative about the fasting. So we can't even make a decision to do that, to get rid of the stuff that's in our way. It's a bad cycle. Today we stop the cycle. Today I am giving you, no excuses, the ability to change it. So if instead you say this to yourself, fasting will bring me feelings of satisfaction and success. Fasting will bring me closer to God. Fasting will increase my health and wellness, increase my quality, enjoyment, and length of life. Fasting will help destroy strongholds and obstacles that I truly want removed because they are ruining my life. God says He Himself will empower me to accomplish this fast because He has called me to do it. Now, when you think that, do you get that negative feeling when you hear those things? So you have the ability now to see the long-term picture and respond by making a decision for it. You didn't have that before. The way you frame it is going to affect whether or not you respond with the fight, flight, flee, or for me, freeze. I freeze. I don't do any of those other. So when you're negative, you go into fight, flight, flee, or freeze mode. But when you are positive, it deactivates it and frees you up to start meditating on positive reasons to fast. Okay? And then once you can trust God to empower you to get through one day, just do one day of fasting it. And then at the end of that one day, you say to yourself, God enabled me to do one day. If God enabled me to do one day, God can enable me to do 2 days. And once you do 2 days, God can enable me to do 3 days. 3 days is half a week. I'm halfway through the week. And then you get to a week. I've done an entire week. I'm so grateful. Look at what God has done in me. I've been able to do this for an entire week. And the fast is only 3 weeks long. I'm a third of the way through. When I'm working out on my exercise, even though I like the idea of exercising and I enjoy the fact of what I'm getting, it's not always a pleasant experience physically. But once I hit the 15-minute point, in the mornings I do 30 minutes of work, in the afternoon 30 minutes. Once I hit 15 minutes, I'm like, less than 15 to go.
I'm the same way because when I get on the treadmill or whatever, you see it. Instead of calculating my time going up, how long I've been on there, I started at 30 minutes and then go backwards because to me it's like, yes, five more minutes.
Okay, that's perfect. How you're framing it. Mm-hmm. Showing how far you've gone is not the same as showing how little you have left.
That's right.
So do you understand how you have the power? You have the power, and that's where faith comes in. Okay? Faith can only come if you choose to trust God. You can only make a decision when you're not in animal mode. If you're having trouble, like what'd you call it? Zootopia? Being an animal? You get to pretend you're an animal? All right? We don't want to be in Zootopia. We want to be a person. We want to have the ability to make choices for ourselves and not do whatever our instinct makes us do. Because guess what? Our instincts can be hijacked. We learned that in last week and at CR, how our body naturally wants to protect us. But if we start eating certain foods or doing certain things or taking in certain substances, all of a sudden we think we're doing something good for our body when we're actually killing ourselves because it hijacks our instincts. Pleasure is supposed to mean this is good for you. But in this world, now we have stuff that makes you feel way too much pleasure and it will kill you. That doesn't happen in nature. Okay? So much good stuff that it'll kill you. Bottom line is, gratitude for what God has done for you is capable of doing now in the future breeds increased trust in God and motivation to obey Him. Think about the things you are grateful for and then act as though you are expecting even more good things to come. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Where does a joyful heart come from? Thinking on good things, right? Matthew 7 says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" That's a positive thing, right? Reasons to trust him. How do we... it is completely up to you whether or not you will reframe your situation in a positive light so that you stop responding like a threatened animal and more like an empowered child of God. God says that it is within your power to transform your mind. Y'all stay with me. God says that it is within your power to transform your mind by taking every thought captive and only acting on it if it agrees with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So once you've got to get yourself out of animal mode, so then you can take every thought captive, compare it to what God says, and reject what does not belong to God. 2 Corinthians 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Romans 12, 22, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And once you start to capture your thoughts, you can begin to control your tongue. You are speaking death or life over yourself, and either chaining yourself to a life of negative thinking and fleshly responses, or propelling yourself into the positive realm of thanksgiving, peace, and joy that comes from walking by the Spirit. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. What you say affects your decision making. Proverbs 4:23, like what Ronnie said, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. All right, so I've had my part. Now I want you to tell me, what did I teach you today? What did you learn from today? Go ahead.
Your brain can only think of one thing.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Your brain can only think of one thing. It's going to think either...
negative or positive.
Negative or positive. So... what else? Tell me, Karen, tell me something else. Don't let Avery show you up.
Yeah, well, we can change how we think about something, and we can change our triggers. What was the other word? Not triggers. By reimagining
okay.
the situation.
Very good. Our responses. Reimagine our emotions. We reimagine and it affects our emotions. Melissa, what did you get out of this?
I like the part about whenever we're thinking about something or when we get hungry or whatever. Like I said, because I've struggled this week with fasting, and as, like you said, as the week progressed, I got better and better at it. But then today, and I know you said the same thing last week, but I'm just going to tell you, last week it didn't mean near as much to me as it does today, because I'm really trying to structure myself and be obedient. So I like the part that when you get hungry or something like that, you stop and you think about the things that you're grateful for. And 77% it causes them to eat healthier. So, but I would rather, I not only want to use that in my fasting, but I would also like to use that in, because I am a little short-tempered. Or sometimes it's the way that I say things. I don't really realize that I've said it in such an ugly way or a negative way. So I've even told the girls, I said I realize that sometimes it may mean sarcasm. However, if you know me, you know that that's not the way that I meant it. However, it's the way that I say it that does mean that. So like I said, I would like to use that in other areas of my life.
Very good. So, very good. Carl, what about you? What'd you get out of this?
Focusing more on the future mm-hmm. instead of focusing on the present.
Very good. Excellent.
And realizing who you're actually fasting for.
Very good. Excellent, excellent. Keith?
That fasting is, when I hear the word fasting, it's not a negative, not mm-hmm. to use it in a negative content, mm-hmm. and that it's not supposed to be like a backed in the corner kind of
yes.
fearful kind of way, and that moving forward with that, I need to have a vertical conversation with God and find out what I need to fast
Very
and
good.
To have a positive outlook on that.
Excellent. Excellent. Fasting is your friend.
Yeah.
Reframing, right?
Yeah.
All right, Ben?
I think I just have a whole different perspective of not stereotyping the word now.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Because Ronnie brought up, and there's different I guess different types of mm-hmm. fasting.
Yes.
Mine is probably more, that's where I struggle. I guess just on a daily basis, because I'm very much, and she can vouch, I think I have, of course, once again, I still have a lot of other areas, but I used to be really, I'm very OCD,
mm-hmm.
I'm very much, before Katie and I met each other, I mean, I had a routine, same
yes.
guy, I got up, and if anything deviated from my schedule,
mm-hmm.
I had a big problem with that.
Yes.
Mm. Have you met Penny?
No. Have you met Ronnie? Ronnie is very, very, very much like that.
It's like, last night she said, I want to get up and go to church tomorrow. I mean, and we had talked about it, and my idea of typically getting up is going to the gym. Getting
yes.
it done, and then I've got the rest of the day.
Yes.
And so, mm-hmm. You know, you had a inspiration to me where I'm at a point in my life where I don't get paid to exercise. It's
mm-hmm.
not how I make my living.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at the point now where I fit in and where I can. And you're right. I'm looking at it from the long-term plan now. And my body's not going to change if I take a week or 2 weeks off at times.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to
yep.
like spaz out when it does happen.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm always thinking, well, you know, I've had a situation arise where I can't go today, so maybe I can work it in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so my fasting is more, and where I'm really bad also is, and this has kind of been my New Year's resolution, is I need to witness more to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses, I will give them kudos because they do a great job at
that. They came visit me this week.
That's mm-hmm. some Mormons this week too.
And so I guess what I walk away with today with is you know, when I'm having a bad day, negative thoughts, trying to put it into a positive spin. Because you're
mm-hmm.
right, the more, and you know, that goes the old saying that we've taught, surround yourself with successful people and you will be more
mm-hmm.
successful and you'll be more positive.
Because mm-hmm.
the people that are always negative, you seem to hang out with them, your life goes down that hill.
Yes, it does.
That's right. What I talked about with. So, mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, is just trying to live more of a positive life,
mm-hmm.
and by all means try to put Christ at the top of the list. And, you know, each and every day I've definitely got areas where I need to improve in that area, because I don't always put Him first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, none of us really do on a constant basis. So that's excellent. Thank you for sharing
sure.
that. Ronnie, what about your input? What did you get out of today's message?
Well, just again, just you know, the last, 4 weeks we've been ever since New Year's on this. So, you know, it's like Ben said there, we making these resolutions and stuff. Then we talk about strongholds and all this stuff. We don't realize how many strongholds we do have. I need Him to be my stronghold. There's still so many things that are flesh, but this helps me, reminds me again, you know, you can preach it, you can teach it, but can you do it? You know, mm-hmm. discipline ourselves is one of the hardest things. We discipline others, you know, you got kids, you can discipline kids, right? But disciplining ourselves, and that's one thing that I've got to get better at, disciplining myself. And You know, the obedient, like the scripture said, Corinthians there, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I don't believe we believe half the time we can do it. You know?
The like negative. It
says, right. we stay in the more of the negative side. So, you know, training our thoughts, like I preached a couple weeks ago, we got to change our stinking thinking. And that stinking thinking is on the negative side. Most of the time, Penny can tell you, I used to be very cynical and negative because I come from a lifestyle of you didn't trust nobody. You know, the only ones that, you know, even those guys that you run with, some of them you kept them closer. The old saying goes, right?
Keep your enemies closer.
Keep enemies closer even because of that lifestyle, whatever. So, you know, it took me receiving Christ, but there's still so much that I have to still surrender to Him, you know, and make Him priority in my life. And definitely this helps me realize I need to focus more on the positive, you know, even when I feel negative. So
that's excellent. Thank you.
You know, the one thing that really touched me today, and sometimes I get really emotional.
You're welcome here.
We're a bunch of crap, baby.
Well, you had mentioned about the animal instinct when we're in pain, and I just can't imagine being nailed to a cross, and not just thinking about myself and the pain that I am. And that was just the contrary of what
that's
our
good.
Savior did.
Oh, that's so good.
He thought nothing about saving all of us.
That's why that scripture is so important to us, and I preached on it a couple of weeks ago, to the obedience of Christ means, you know, He suffered. He didn't want to go there.
He learned obedience through suffering.
That's right, through suffering. But yet, He, you know, through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is the only way He could go to the cross. In the garden, He sweated blood. Tears.
Sweat of blood.
Sweat of blood. And, you know, so can we go there, you know, in this thing? And heck, if we could grab hold of that, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Philippians says there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just thought of one story. Think of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham having to go up the mountain to offer Isaac. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that I've always found really interesting about that is he took Isaac and the servants and he said, we are going to go worship the Lord. And then they got to the bottom of the mountain and he and Isaac were about to go up and he turns to his servants and says, we will be back. Mm-hmm. Now, he was going up to the top of the mountain.
Oh, wait a minute. I never noticed that.
Yeah, I know. So he says to them,
says we.
And so, look it up when you go home. It says, we will be back. The boy and I will be back. So he goes up, and then even when they're up at the top, Isaac says to him, where's the ram? And what does he say? The Lord himself will provide the sacrifice. Here he is facing the worst thing a parent could ever face, and yet everything was a positive statement of belief and faith in God, which allowed him go to the end of what God called him to do, and God proved himself faithful. So in whatever we're doing, and the thing that, to me, that this message and what I've been learning said the most to me is, as I'm studying about foods, there are some foods that have the ability to turn genes on and off. Okay? If you've got cancer genes, like even in mice or whatever, they've shown that if there's a cancer gene that's turned on in it, if you feed it milk protein, it will turn it on and make the cancer grow. If you take away the milk protein and even give it any other kind of protein, it will stop growing. okay, it will immediately stop. And that there are other things that if you feed yourself certain things, it can undo heart disease. But the turning on and the turning off of the gene by a particular substance or food, that's exactly what we do by our negative or positive. We turn on our ability to make choices for Christ when we are positive, and we turn off our ability to make decisions for Christ when we are negative. It's just a switch that we flip on and off. We can't stop ourselves from immediately responding instinctually like an animal, but we can, at that moment, then reframe it and turn the switch back on.